This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
The Gorder model is described as an integrative, non-toxic approach to cancer treatment that mobilizes the immune system. It was developed by Robert Gorder, a medical doctor who recovered from cancer by using non-toxic treatment and no chemotherapy or radiation. Dr. Gorder based his model on self-experience, extensive research, and decades of clinical practice. Now, Dr. Gorder and co-author Eric Pepper, a professor from San Francisco State University, have written a book called Fighting Cancer, Mobilize Your Immune System Using the Gorder Model. The book presents a clear overview of the Gorder Model, the research behind it, and strategies for strengthening natural immunity.
We're joined on the phone by Eric Pepper. Welcome to People First Radio, Professor Pepper.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
In 1976, Dr. Robert Gorder, a medical doctor, recovered from stage 4 testicular cancer by using non-toxic treatment and no chemotherapy or radiation. This was the origin of the Gorder model. Tell us more about Robert Gorder himself and his experiences.
Well, he is a Dutch physician. That's his background and training. He also worked at UCSF. And as you said, he developed cancer, and then he realized as a physician, you know, that the prognosis was very poor, and he did not look forward to the almost destructive possible treatments. So he decided, well, I'll try to do the best I can to boost my immune system. And from his perspective and knowledge, which was partly came out of an anthroposophic perspective, you know, an almost natural perspective, he said, how can I boost my immune system? And that, in that way, he used mistletoe, which is an extract of mistletoe. It's almost like an herb. It's a kind of self-vaccination, which tends to regularize the immune system. He also essentially included doing hyperthermia. We forget that fever is really a very good thing. High body temperature, you know, within reason, is really activates the immune system. And sometimes I think in our present day, we make an error by when anybody gets a fever, we quickly want to stop it. We quickly give them Tylenol or paracetamol or whatever to bring the fever down. And yet the research data shows it's the inverse. In most cases, you want to do watchful waiting, which is much more difficult. It means if you have a child, the parents have to be around. But, you know, if you just monitor the fever, if it goes over 40, then really do something. But beneath that, you know, the system is really working very hard to get its own immune system activated. And when you do that, healing is more likely. And you can see that, in fact, even today in intensive coronary care units or intensive care units, if a patient has a fever and you just monitor it carefully compared to patients who you suppress the fever aggressively, which is a normal mode, then you see a significant reduction in the total death rate of the patients who you allow to have to maintain their fever. Or the other way to say it, if you look at young children and mothers who take essentially Tylenol-like substances while they're pregnant, when they have a slight fever, or give it to their infant in the first year of life, those infants by the age of 6 have much more allergies. So in a way, what Robert did, he said, okay, let me mobilize my immune system. And he also had other things. He had hope. You know, you have to have purpose in life as well. And so he did all those. And in his case, his cancer regressed. He had a complete remission. And that was the basis, I would say, to give him a really kind of experiential knowledge. It is possible. But we know from many patients, from many traditions, that regardless of the stage of cancer you have, there are always people who, despite the prognosis, show remission or very good recovery. And my interest really was, is how can many more of us get there?
You mentioned a number of aspects of the treatment, and there were a couple of more aspects that I came across. One was inoculation with immune cells.
Correct.
And I'm wondering, in a short kind of nugget, what is that about?
Okay, if you think about your body and your immune system, you have a series of cells, or it's really part of the immune system, and these cells are called dendritic cells, which are go through your body all the time. They sort of creep in between all your cells in your body, from your skin to your genitals. It makes a difference, every part in your body. And they sort of check every cell, and they say, are you a normal cell, or is there something abnormal about that? If they identify that cell as being abnormal, then they rush back to the lymph nodes. In the lymph nodes, they communicate to the killer T cells. You could think of the lymph node as a kind of army camp where the soldiers are sitting around. And the dendritic cell is like a guide going out saying, ah, I see an enemy there, or something like that. Now they go back, these guides go back to the lymph node. They now tell the killer T cells, ah, this is the characteristics of that cell that we should get rid of. Now these killer T cells spread through the body and look for that specific type of cell, and they would then kill it. That's the normal mode how cancer is really controlled in the body. We forget that all of us, even me, you, everybody in the audience, at any one time, their body is producing cancer cells. However, it's not a problem because the body recognizes those cells are not working or abnormal, and the body destroys them. And that is the role of the dendritic cells. What you could say is that when we have cancer, either we are overloaded by the cancer or our dendritic cells are less active. In some ways, you could say our immune system becomes less competent, or we have been exposed to many substances which induce too many cancer cells. There are many reasons. And now the question is it possible to activate those dendritic cells? And so in the Gorder model, what you do is as you come in, basically, they do a blood draw, and not too much blood, and then the laboratory, they select out from your blood something called monocytes, essentially white blood cells-like, and then the laboratory, you essentially transform those into dendritic cells. And then thereafter, you re-inoculate, just like a vaccination, these cells into, you know, underneath your skin, usually your arm or so. And then these cells, which are your own cells, but now reactivated, travel through your body searching for abnormal cells. And this is what makes the Gorder model unique on that side, is that you combine that with the hyperthermia. So first you heat the person up, almost like a hot bath in a sense. But you do this so the core temperature goes up from maybe 36, 37 to 39, so, but let's say 39 degrees or even higher. Now the body is really activated. Then you do the vaccination. And this process is repeated about 3 times.
This is People First Radio, only on CHLY 101.7 FM and streaming at chly.ca.
A new book called Fighting Cancer describes the Gorder model, which is described as an integrative, non-toxic approach to cancer treatment that mobilizes the immune system. It was developed by Robert Gorder, a medical doctor who in 1976 recovered from cancer by using non-toxic treatment and no chemotherapy or radiation. The model is based on Dr. Gorder's self-experience, extensive research, and decades of clinical practice. We're speaking with San Francisco State University Professor Eric Pepper, who co-authored the book Fighting Cancer with Robert Gorder.
Professor Pepper, you and Robert Gorder emphasize stress reduction and minimizing toxic exposure as well. Tell us more about that.
Well, there's lots of evidence that stress reduction, taking charge of your life, having purpose, really improves your recovery from cancer. This is based initially on the work by Barbara Anderson. She took 250 or so patients with breast cancer. That was more than 12 years ago. These were all nicely matched. They all got normal medical treatment. Half the group got essentially a combined group process. For about 14 weeks, they met in groups, not just only to share, however, to learn skills of stress reduction, because when you're very stressed, your immune system becomes compromised. And after they had learned these sets of skills, these women now were followed. And now, 11 years later, you see that those who participated in that stress management program and assertiveness training program and lifestyle change have a significant lower mortality and have less reoccurrence of the cancer than those who didn't. They all got the normal medical care. So what this is saying is that, yes, you can do something to mobilize your health. So reduce, you know, explore what stress is for you, take charge, and do stress reduction. In a very simplistic way to say it, when you are highly stressed, consider back that in evolutionary times, we're chased by a saber-toothed tiger. At that moment, our body is not concerned about healing. It's only concerned to get to a place of safety. Only when I'm in a place of safety, how can I be safe? Feel safe emotionally, physically. Then my body can regenerate. Or as Sempolsky, a professor at Stanford, basically said, you know, why should I heal my body and make it grow when I'm becoming the tiger's lunch? And so that is the underlying theme, I think, for stress management. The second piece is really, we need to really avoid and reduce toxins in our environment. I mean, the evidence is overwhelming. There are many toxins which compromise. I'm not saying they totally cause cancer always, but definitely they compromise the immune system, which allows cancer to occur. The classic one we all know of is smoking. And in fact, the only reason why the cancer, or the major reason why the cancer rate has slightly gone down now compared to 50 years ago, there's almost no change, by the way, in death rate, despite all the diagnostics, is that people have reduced their smoking. As people stop smoking, the cancer rates have gone slightly down. There are many other toxins. You know, sometimes we think of all the pollutants in the air. What about all the pesticides? All these are things which are very low dosages. However, they may compromise our system, as well as the diet we eat. You know, many of us eat diets, which if you think back of our great-grandparents, what was our native, our earlier diet? That was a diet usually possibly of fresh fish, of vegetables, tubers. It didn't have much sugar. It didn't have much processed foods. All those foods we ate, you could say, were foods that could spoil very quickly. Well, foods that can spoil quickly are foods we can digest.
Dr. Pepper, we have just a moment left in our conversation today. I'm wondering if there's anything else you'd like to add about the Gorder model or this approach.
Well, I think there are probably two parts. One, regardless at what stage of cancer you have, or if you worry that you could get cancer, remember, there are lifestyle skills you can do which will optimize your immune system. And that includes stress reduction, which you can do in groups. It including movement, and especially includes listening to your biological rhythm. That means sleep in total darkness. You know, do some daily exercise. Eat regular foods, but make these foods not the foods you eat today as advertised on television. Eat the foods which your great-grandparents ate. They are more likely to be healthy. And finally, look at the world and find something for joy. It is because if you have a purpose to live, not just out of selfishness, but I really want to do something, whatever that is, people do better. The data is overwhelming. Those people who have faith have higher survival. And then finally, health and illness is not totally in our hands. We have to learn to accept where we are and then still do action. And it's in the action we develop hope.
Eric Pepper, thanks very much for taking the time to join us today. It was much appreciated.
Well, thank you very much for interviewing me, and hopefully the material is useful.
Bye-bye.
Eric Pepper is an internationally known expert on holistic health, stress management, and biofeedback. He's a professor at San Francisco State University, practices at Biofeedback Health in Berkeley, California, and is the co-author of Fighting Cancer, a Non-Toxic Approach to Treatment. You can find Fighting Cancer at Amazon.ca and at Chapters.ca.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with the Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.